see ourselves.
Yeah, again.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Chris, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to see you again, as always.
Oh, thank you very much. I return the favour.
We are hitting our strides today. This one's going to be an interesting episode.
I thought we'd change it up a little.
Yeah, so very, you know, it's been a bit odd term, but case study. So Kurt's come today hot on the press. We are hot off the press with a case study of a rental scenario. Now, I know we mostly talk about sales and buying, but we like to think all things property, as long as it's Sydney relevant. So you've got a Sydney landlord, investor.
Yep.
Tell us this story. Where do we take us
from? So here? Stay tuned as well, because we've got two scenarios. They go back to back with each other. But you're going to be in the decision of the landlord. Life is very easy to sit on the sideline and be like, should have done this. But when the pressure's on and you've got to make the decision.
What decision would you make? So,
yes.
Let's go.
So, you're sitting down, you get a phone call from a friend or a family member because they've bought a property and they're going to rent it out and they're trying to choose between two people.
Two rental agencies.
Two agencies.
Okay, yep.
So the two BDMs from the different companies will call one company yellow and one company red for ease of sakes. So company...
that is ease of sakes. But just before you do, BDMs are business development manager.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep going.
So yellow company, you've been speaking with them for, we'll call it 2 months. They've gently kept in contact with you. They've followed up. They haven't harassed you. They've given you any information. They've been right on the money. When you first bought the property, it needed some work done. And they originally told you that it would be worth around $720.
Per week.
Yep. As you've got closer, about a week before you need to make that decision, all the work you've done to tidy up the place, we'll call it a three-bedroom home, allows you to rent it out, they reckon, at $750. You've got a pool, so they've said that they're going to charge an extra invoice onto the tenant to pay for the pool maintenance.
Okay, yep.
Cool. However, then you've started speaking to another agency just to compare, and we'll call them Agency Red. Once again, being super lovely, super helpful, they've come in, they reckon they can get you $780. They're not going to do a pool invoice. They're just going to include that in the rent. And they both seem very nice, but you're conflicted who you should go with because you've had the relationship with someone.
Longer-term relationship versus the newer one.
Someone that's come in. And in fairness, they've said that they haven't given them much time, but they seem good.
Yep. So same fees, same pricing, as we know, yep. Like we sort of said. So who audience do you choose? Do you choose yellow?
Or red.
Okay. Hope you've made a decision. So now we're going to talk about, this was actually a real case scenario.
Real case scenario.
So tell us about who they choose, yellow or red, and what happened.
So, do you want to know who I advise them to go with?
Sure.
I advise them to go with yellow.
Okay. And
I was like, I'm big on loyalty, being on that you've had the relationship.
Yep, that stacks up true to your nature.
And after the conversation, I thought that's where they were going.
But?
They've gone red.
Right, okay.
So they went...
And did they partly choose red like that, including the price? Because that red was including the price or the cost of the pool maintenance in that?
Yeah, so
Was that attractive to them?
That was attractive because the way they pitched it, Team Red, was just like, if the tenants don't end up wanting to pay the pool thing, it can become a bit of a fiasco on their
part. A tip of tat, trying to chase money extra.
And it's just like, it's easier to
have
include
the
in it.
I would agree.
So...
Yep. That I'm not okay. Don't say I'll go with red, but I'm just saying that I'm not okay. Okay, so now tell us what happened with red.
So red, now what's ended up happening, because they've been speaking with the BDM, they've had a couple of issues come up where they needed a sharp, quick response, but however, the PM hasn't been as responsive.
PM is?
Property manager.
Okay.
Hasn't been as responsive as they've needed to, or they felt they needed to.
And I might just cover this off. So when you're dealing with renting a property, you quite often first engage with a BDM, a business development manager, and then your property is managed by a property manager long-term basis. Sometimes you can find they're the same person. Right? And the benefit of that would be have consistency of all those conversations you had for a week or 2 months or whatever it is, you're then dealing with that same person. But most agencies will have different people. They have a BDM and then a project manager. They will on pass information to
property
each other.
Manager.
Property manager. Sorry, I always say property manager. Sorry, property manager. Thank you. They will not pass information to each other. They're both still working in the organisation, but you can imagine not every piece of conversation has been reiterated the same as what you may have initially canvassed.
And you may be asking also, a little side note, why is that the case? Well, when it comes to selling a property, the real estate agent knows how to sell himself, the company,
yep,
and sell the property. Whereas property managers are super organised, well, they should be, generally they are.
Saying real estate agents aren't?
Mate, you should see something. However, their ability to sell is not as good. So often that's why...
That's not where their experience sits. It's also not what they do day in day out. And what they are doing day in day out is managing properties, and that's a big workload by itself. Of course.
So anyway, out of that, the person was a bit worried that, how's this going? Should we chose the other person? And so they're a bit conflicted because it's not like they've done anything majorly wrong, but there's just some issues starting to boil under the...
Some teething issues, right? Teething issues. Yeah. Okay, so then now we're going to scenario number two. I think it's
scenario two.
So choosing a tenant.
Choosing the tenant. So,
again, I want you to have your thinking caps on. You're going to be asked to make a decision, listeners and viewers, in a moment.
So, Team Red have said they can deliver $780 in rent. That is the asking price. Inspections happen, applications come in, and there are two applications. One application is a male and female, late 20s, earning $180,000 between them, no children, great references.
Bob's your uncle.
Okay, yep.
The other option is a couple, once again, I think in their late 20s, earning $130,000.
Okay, yep, a bit less.
A bit down. However, they've got a child and they've just been asked to move out of their unit because it's, sorry, their house because it's been getting sold because they're renting. And so they've put an offer of 700 and the other couple, 180, put an offer of $780.
So it's $10 difference.
Per week.
And one's asked the exact amount, one's offered $10 below.
Yep. Some of the $130,000 is done through a bit of cash. So on paper, they're probably around the 110 mark.
Yeah. So they're doing some cash in hand work, what you're saying there. Yep.
So who do you choose?
Do you choose, let me just reframe, do you choose the professional couple, that's why they're probably both professional, but professional earning 180 with no kids, or do you choose the couple who have recently vacated, really desperate, let's just say, finding a property, have a child, less income, and the income is muddier and clear. Have a thing.
Who do you choose?
Ding! Okay, who did they choose?
They ended up choosing the couple with 180K, the professional couple.
Yep, makes sense. Paying 180 is again $10 extra per week, which is not anything to write home about, but it's something. What was their logic behind that? Did they share?
So the logic was this time they did follow through with my suggestion.
And that was your suggestion? Yeah.
That was my suggestion purely because 180K, they had good references. With a child, unfortunately, becomes potential damage of the property.
Okay.
And also the 130, I said...
It's a consideration, yeah.
I know some couples that are on 120, 130 that are paying maybe even...
Similar rent levels.
Even lower. And they're not doing it tough, but it's like, you know, things are going... It's not exactly easy. And I can't imagine having to pay almost $800. You've got a child, so it's going to be more expensive. Yeah. And some of your money is not exactly... It's cash in hand, so
it could be ebbs and flows there. I mean, I would have chosen the same. However, there is part of my brain going the 130 or 110, whatever else. They're unlikely to purchase something themselves in the next 12 to 24 to 36 months. They might move, but even that's moving's got a relocation cost. If they're cutting at bare bones, they might just go, let's just stay here and not move. So you're vacancy rate, the potential they're moving out and having the property vacant for any period of time, is probably lower with them. The 180, they might be going, I don't know them, but they might be squirreling money away to buy their own property, so they're only a tenant for 12 months, and then you've got to go through the whole rigmarole again. Again, I would have chosen the 180 as well, but it's just something else. We all think being a landlord or investor, and you know, Australia go, oh, they've got it easy. But there are a lot of decisions to make that are scenario to scenario.
And I think we want to try this bit of a different episode just to actually give you an idea of that when you actually have to make the decision, it's a lot tougher being on the field than off it.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's kick on. Let's have three quick questions today. We've got a bit of a quiz to run through things now.
Yep.
I'm going to give you five suburbs in Sydney.
Okay, yep.
All right, I'm going to give you one at a time.
Okay.
And you have to just put your preference for the suburb.
Can I change my preference once it's locked in?
One is locked in.
And so I don't know what's coming.
Correct. So whatever it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Lilyfield.
Ooh, that's in the west, so I'm going to go three.
Three, okay. Coogee.
Five.
Whatever. Interesting, okay.
I'm
going to write this down so I can remember. Two, five. Darlinghurst.
I'm going to go two.
Two, okay.
So we've got one and four left.
Lilyfield was two.
Oh, was it three? Darlinghurst, three.
Three, okay. So you've only got one and five to go. Penrith.
Five.
Five? No, five was Coogee. You keep coming back to what you've done.
No, because you told me. You said what you've got one and five left.
Sorry, one and four.
It would have been Penrith is four.
You are correct. My mistake there.
This is what we're working here.
And number one, Chatswood.
Ah, okay, cool.
You're going to love that. You're in the Chatswood market. That actually went down. So Chatswood one, Lilyfield two, Darlinghurst three, Penrith four, Coogee number five.
Actually, I'm pretty impressed. I'm
interested why Coogee's five.
Maybe
for another episode.
I'll keep my opinions to myself.
Well, thank you all for dropping by. As I always say, do like, share, subscribe. And in particular, if you know someone who's a landlord or an investor and you've got these scenarios, they're choosing an agent, reach out and have a discussion, but also share this episode with them. Thanks for dropping by.